So this is our very first episode of Addiction and Fiction, and today we will be talking about Dr. Ian Sullivan from The Resident. I'm your host, Ruby, here with my co-host, Tony.
Hey.
We gotta work on that. So, we might as well just dive into it. Tony, if you were to think of five words to describe Ian, what would you say they are?
A real piece of work.
Oh, wow, that works. I was thinking adjectives. That definitely works because, oh, God, he is. I came up with narcissistic, cocky, arrogant, neglectful, and manipulative.
That works, too.
Oh, yeah. I think I just thought about it a little harder. Probably too hard. For anyone who doesn't watch The Resident, who is Dr. Ian Sullivan? He is a pediatric surgeon extraordinaire. We first meet Ian when his daughter, who is a doctor at Chastain Park Memorial Hospital, is shot and nearly died. She has like a rare blood condition, and so she had blood that was banked for in case she needed it, and something happened with that, so he came to donate his blood. And he seemed normal at first, right?
Yeah, at first. But even then, he was very arrogant. Like, in his opening sequence, he was very into himself and, put himself in front of others and, like, kind of like it was a me show kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think when I first saw him, I was like, okay, well, he's a surgeon. They do have pretty good egos, or big egos, you know? And then things started to stick out to me, little things, you know, when his mask was flipped, like when he brought Kate banana pudding, and she's like, I'm allergic to bananas. And then she pointed out that banana pudding is his favorite. And she would mention things like he was never there for her when she was younger, and she practically raised herself. But even then, it's kind of like, okay, so he's a narcissist, you know?
Yeah.
Then
come to find out, it's a major thing of it was because of his addiction. He wasn't there, and she would have to cover up and lie for him. I may be skipping ahead, but that's what kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and they really didn't even show him being addicted until his maybe fourth episode, which was the beginning of season six. And that's when we realized that he's operating on kids under the influence of benzos.
But he had a regimen, like, of uppers, downers, and all-arounders. He was just, like, all over the place. He was doing everything under the sun. Like, he was being his own doctor and kind of...
The most dangerous type of doctor. The one who was his own doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, over the course of mere months, we see him lie, steal, and then manipulate and gaslight not only his daughter, but everyone around him.
Yeah.
A huge example that immediately came to mind is when... I'm skipping ahead now too. When he was feeling the walls closing in on him, and he's begging his daughter not to tell anyone, and he starts spinning it as, well, there's a fundraiser going on, and if you tell Hawkins, he'll tell Voss, and it'll be over for me. The hospital will have no pediatric surgeon. Think of all that could be lost, all the lives I could still save. And I was just like, oh my God. It's like, it's so transparent. But with his daughter having grown up with that, you know, it's probably a little harder for her to see that. But that just, like, it was like, wow, he's not even trying to hide how much he's trying to manipulate her.
Yeah, it was just, like, very straightforward, like, of how manipulative he was, like, trying to, like, do anything he could, anything. Basically, and shift blame, and also, rationalize, and you know, just doing everything he could to try to get out of, and once he suggested rehab, like, no, it's out of the question, you know, anyone with an addiction problem would probably be at first. No, I have better things to do, don't you know?
I have so much responsibility. I have all these things to do. I can't go to rehab. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember words like that coming out of my mouth. And so it was like, it was jarring to see, because to me, this was a pretty accurate, as much as it can be for TV that's dramatized and stuff. His behaviors were super accurate. So, you know, let's just jump down to what was realistic. A lot of his behavior, sneaking, lying, hiding things, being short-sighted. His withdrawal symptoms, they did a really good job with that.
Yeah.
Especially showing it from his point of view.
Yeah.
Especially overconfidence. Go ahead.
The overconfidence, yeah. But as far as the withdrawal symptoms go, that episode where he had to get through the day because he was going to be tested and he was holding on to dear life and like he wasn't making it through. So he found a way to manipulate the test.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to come back to that because I have entire notes about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, this, like I said, his overconfidence, short-sightedness, self-centeredness, the desperation. The fact that he was bold enough to search how to manipulate a drug test on his work computer and didn't think he'd get caught. The confrontations between rehab patients and their families, the show did a really good job with that. And they did a really good job of emphasizing that addiction affects the entire family.
And also, there's a quote, but I'm going to kind of like paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was like something like along the lines of, addiction is such a horrible disease, fighting it just looks as bad as having it. You know, like,
oh yeah, I forgot to write that one down, but that was a good one. And yeah, and they did such a huge, like, wonderful job of showing that, and they made such an unlikable character sympathetic. And it's shown a light on how addiction affects families for those of us who've been in it, because we got to see how it affected his daughter, the ways that he lashed out at her when he was withdrawing or when he didn't want to be bothered because he was trying to find a fix. And it was just like, wow. And the actress who played her did so well.
And it just shows also how careless he was, like, you know, with taking the drugs just turn his back around and take them and pretend like nobody else could see what was going on. And it was kind of like, the unrealistic part was like that nobody would have noticed like him being off or any of the alarm bells kind of ringing, like, hey, this guy looks like he may be in withdrawal right now. Like, you know, he was sweating bullets and it's just kind of like,
it's like a sauna in here. Oh my God, can't you feel it?
Yeah.
The fact that nobody except his daughter was suspicious was crazy to me. Like, I kind of could see how they might think, okay, he's a little eccentric. But his mood swings and the fact that he always had that little Altoids tin and was always taking a mint, but I bet his breath didn't smell good. Like, yeah, it's crazy that no one else was suspicious. Yeah, it's just, but another thing that I said was, or for how, okay, what I put for what was unrealistic. Like I mentioned, he searched how to manipulate a drug test on his work computer. And it's understandable that he didn't expect to get caught because we never expect to get caught. But the fact that they didn't catch him is what's unrealistic.
Then he
ordered synthetic urine, and it was being like DoorDashed or Postmates to him. You cannot get that on Postmates, because I looked it up. I'm like, there's no way that you can do that. you can. And then, but even if you could, having it delivered to your job at the hospital, that is,
and it was magically like there on his desk without anybody batting an eye.
Yeah, like it's just some random package just on his desk. No one's like, huh, I wonder what he's having. He just started working here, you know? So, and then, yeah, no one seemed to notice up until right before he went to rehab that he was getting high. And that only person was Dr. Lee. And she hardly knew him. There were doctors he saw every day who were just like, ah, that's just him. And that's crazy to me. He's operating on children and babies and taking their literal little lives in his hands. And no one's like, huh, guy's acting a little strange, a little stranger than usual. We should check on him. You know? And
something also caught on to was like his kind of like coldness when it came to other addicts because they weren't like on his level.
Oh my God,
when,
yes.
When the, you know, the heroin addict mother was there, he was just all judgy and kind of like, you know, like talking down about her. And meanwhile, he's getting loaded right before he operates on her daughter.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned that because I forgot to make a note of that. But yeah, okay, so for the audience, a young woman came in and she had, as he yelled at his daughter, he was like, well, I heard she was getting high in the parking lot right before she gave birth. So obviously her baby is born and she's going through withdrawals. And so they're not going to give her the baby. And he was super judgy about it. And he's like, what was she thinking? And he basically called her a street addict. But he was being super sympathetic to the baby because they're both going through withdrawal. In fact, I think, he said, I'd be miserable too if I was withdrawing from drugs. I know it hurts, sweetie. Trust me, I know. To the baby.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, you're basically you're literally on the same level as the mom. Like, but yeah, that blew my mind. I can't believe I forgot to write that down. So, ways that he fucked up during his arc on the show, what would you say those were?
Well, the whole operating while withdrawing, because remember the baby? He was withdrawing and he almost could have nicked an artery or it could have been bad. Because he was in total withdrawal. And then it was like, he stopped for a minute. And I guess like the other doctors realized something was wrong, but they didn't realize exactly what. But they knew something was wrong. I think right there, like he could have just like, there could have been room for something incredibly bad to happen.
I was so afraid that entire episode, I was like, he's gonna kill one of these babies. From when he was holding the twins, Padma's twins, and handing them over and stuff. And I'm like, I was literally screaming at the TV the first time I watched it. I'm like, stop letting him hold kids. He's going to drop one of them. Those are literal newborns. Like, oh my God, that was, I was so stressed out that entire episode. Even the second time watching it, even though I knew it was going to turn out okay, I was just like, I can't believe, like, yeah. And even operating on kids, withdrawing, that's one thing, but operating on them high, even though he knew what he was doing, that was like extremely crazy to me. He was stealing drugs. He was, like you mentioned, he manipulated a drug test. He
more than one.
Figured out. Oh yeah. Well, no, it was just the one.
It was the first one, remember? It was the first one when he took medicine to block the effects of like him having taken the benzos, and then the second time he used a patient's urine to pass it. So he did it twice.
Well, the first time he had a handy excuse, is what it was.
Still, he manipulated it because he got his little excuse.
Yeah, because first he was trying to take niacin. He's like taking niacin by the handfuls, and I was thinking to myself, that's not good. I know for a fact that doesn't work. So then when he took his little rapid test and it still showed as positive, I was like, well, duh. Then he got himself a prescription for a muscle relaxer or something that can cause a false positive for benzos, so that he had his little handy excuse ready. And so he got a week long extension on his drug test. And and then in the end, because he knew that he was going to have to do that surgery on that newborn, he went ahead and just popped a pill. It didn't get him right immediately, but like halfway through the surgery, he was able to step in. And he's trying to figure out what to do and just kind of resigning himself to the fact that he might get fired. Walks past the patient's room, and what do you know? There's a urine sample. And after that, he knew he got away with it. And he's just like, okay, well, now I can have all the pills I want.
And meanwhile, he had the urine too ready to go, because he planned on continuing to do it. Like, he wasn't going to stop.
Oh yeah, he even said earlier in that day when he was withdrawing, and he's like, 9 hours, just make it through 9 hours, and then you can take the test, and then you can have all the pills you want. And I'm like, dude, seriously? So you just learned nothing, huh? So once he passed the test and the urine was there, put it in his little locked drawer. And was like, business as usual. And he went ahead and had all the pills he wanted. So, let's see what else he did. The fact that he kept that in his locked drawer in his office, like the desk belongs to him and not the hospital.
Right. He had his little stash spot with
all his pills, his fake urine, his little rapid drug test. Like, he had a whole drawer. Like, it's his home office or something where no one else can access it. And that's just, like, the height of arrogance. And that arrogance is so, like, indicative of, or it's such a symptom of addiction. Because at a certain point, we do so many substances that we start to feel untouchable.
Yeah.
Metaphorically and literally.
And he felt like it would make him better, too. Like, he felt like being on the substances actually improved his performance as a doctor, and it actually improved, like, the delusion was, like, there, like, you know what I mean? Like, to say that, yes, maybe it didn't help calm his nerves, but making him better, no.
No, and he made a comment like that, too, I think, jumping ahead again. But to his sponsor, he said something like, well, even loaded, I was better than half the doctors out there.
Yeah.
And his sponsor was like, that's kind of dangerous thinking. So, yeah, it definitely gave him this false confidence and this belief that he could literally perform miracles in the OR, which is terrifying, because things like this do happen in real life every day. So I have some notable quotes. The first one, and this was like on his second episode that he was on, and he's talking to his daughter, and this was when he was apologizing about the banana pudding, which was obviously not a real apology, but he said something like, people don't change, do they? I keep making the same mistakes again and again. And I thought that he was, at that time, I thought that he was being sincere, but it was just another manipulation. Let's see, when he was withdrawing and he went to go talk to the receptionist, and he said something about her eyes, and she was like, what's up with your eyes? And he came up with some excuse, and she goes,
My eyes were dilated.
Yeah. And she goes, my cousin, his eyes would be dilated like that. It turns out he was in withdrawal at the time. You're not in withdrawal, are you, Dr. Sullivan? And he just kind of laughed at it and like, no, I'm not. And he absolutely was. Went right into the elevator and almost passed out. Let's see. Oh, here's the one where, another one from the episode where he was going through that huge withdrawal. And his daughter came in to tell him something about he needed to get the surgery or something. And he just kind of went off on her on this tirade. She just wants him to admit that he's a terrible father. And, that's what you tell all your friends. You tell them I was a deadbeat that you have to raise yourself. Sometimes you're not the victim. Sometimes you're the problem. You make everyone around you feel like a failure, Miss High and Mighty. Do you have any idea what it's like having a daughter like that? What it does to a man? And I mean, my mouth was just open. Like, it was just like the way that we attack the people closest to us when they just want to help us or be there for us. It's just heartbreaking.
Very much so.
See. Oh, when he started getting desperate, or no, actually before that, Dr. Lee was like, you know, I caught a nurse wiping drugs off my car too. Poor thing was totally strung out. And he just kind of played it off because he had just put some propofol in his pocket. And so he asked her what happened, and she said, I had to report it. She lost her job, her career. Sad, really. She was a great nurse. And then he kind of like made a little generic comment. And she goes, well, the addiction doesn't discriminate. It could happen to anyone. And he just kind of made an excuse to leave and walk away because it was hitting a little too close to the home. And it's just, like I said, it's crazy to me that Dr. Lee is the only one besides his daughter who noticed something was wrong.
Yeah. And then a little bit later after that, when he's like scrambling, when he feels the walls closing in on him, he calls on Cade, right, his daughter. And she's like, I can't lie for you anymore. I'll lie for you one more time, but you have to go to rehab, or else I'll have to go to the board and go to the hospital directors and have you. You're like, I'll lose everything. You can't do that. And he was throwing a fit like he was a child. You know what I mean? But
oh yeah, he was. He went right into the rationalizing and the manipulation. And look, everything was under control. It was perfectly sound medically, and I can show you the protocol. And that's when she started realizing how off the rails he was.
Yeah, and then he asked her to prescribe a medication to taper off, and it was just like very unethical. And she's like, "No, I'm not gonna do that."
Like, he really just tried to like pull her in even more. She already enabled him enough. She already covered for him her entire life. And yeah, my heart was just breaking for her. For him a little bit too, but at that point he still was operating on kids high, so I wasn't feeling that bad about him.
Yeah. And remember in the fentanyl episode where he was like looking for the kids' fentanyl pills?
Yes. That actually was right before he took the propofol.
Yeah.
He was looking for the fentanyl pills because he knew the kids had them, even though the kids were freaking dying of overdoses. And that just shows you how far his mind was gone. And I could totally see that happening in real life. I knew a lot of people who knew that something had killed someone else and was like, oh, that must mean it's really good. And I'm like, yeah, it means you're going to die too.
And that's like the insidious nature of addiction. It's like, it doesn't stop, even though someone may die from it, or you know people personally that have died from it, or see people that have like gotten really messed up because of a particular substance, you still think it's not going to be me.
Yep.
And that arrogance that comes with that, you know, that like that risky thinking.
Absolutely. So in the end, he did go to rehab. He was there for a month, I believe. His daughter came down to family day, and there were these scenes where the families were, you know, sharing what they had to go through as a result of the addiction. And it was just, yeah, there was this part where these sisters were talking to their sister who was a patient there, and they're saying, you know, this is your third time and we don't have much hope of it working out this time, and you keep having us lie to our parents for you, but you know, if you're not being honest with them, then how are you working a program? And that's when Cade realized that she couldn't keep lying for her father, and that yeah, it was too late because a lot of the damage was already done. So in the end he got out of rehab. He got himself a sponsor and was going to meetings. He still had a lot of the same attitudes, which, of course, you know, he was only in rehab for a month. So, like I said, he said that, you know, even when he was loaded, he was better than more than half the doctors. And we did get to see how he reacted to encountering some of his triggers that he had mentioned while he was still in program. Like you said, the pressure from the parents is one of his biggest triggers, because they come to him saying, you know, we need you to save our child. He goes, and he confesses that he had been in rehab to his bosses, but the chief of surgery's granddaughter needs emergency surgery, and this is the most unrealistic part of this. Immediately after he tells them, hey, I've been operating on kids high for months, and then I lied and went to rehab but didn't tell you until now, he's like, well, you can still operate on my granddaughter. That is the... That would be such a huge liability for any hospital. But yeah, we got to see him and how he dealt with that trigger when the chief of surgery's son and son-in-law were saying, you know, we know you can save our daughter. We heard you're the best. And he kind of like faltered for a second. So at least on that day, he was able to overcome it. I'm really upset about the show getting canceled because I really wanted to see where they were going to go with him.
Yeah. And because he got a little bit humble when he came to his bosses, and he was like, you know, it's all fear-based. Like, you know, fear that I don't measure up. That's why the drugs helped mask that. And it was like, it made sense because a lot of things in addiction are fear-based. Like fear of not being enough, fear of failure, fear of letting somebody down. So he got to recognize that. And kind of got off of his, let go of his ego a bit.
Yeah, which was great to see. But this is gonna show a little of my TV bias. I really feel like if they had continued on for a seventh season, that he would have had some setbacks because he's a surgeon and it makes for good TV, but also because it's real life. People usually have setbacks before they, you know, get it right.
Yeah. At least I know I did.
I had a couple. All right. You have any other notes about Dr. Sullivan or Ian?
No. I think we covered it him pretty good. Just kind of like his transformation a little bit. But even then, it was like he was still kind of doubting himself and like where he wanted to stay clean and sober, but he didn't know if he was going to.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know,
it was kind of like, it was an open question.
Which is,
and, you know, like you said, it could, and then too bad we don't get to see a seventh season.
Yeah. But, you know, having it open-ended like that and as an unanswered question, that's probably the most realistic part of this, of his arc of all, you know?
Yeah.
He struggled and he went through the motions and he lied and he manipulated and then he tried to do what's right. And it can change at any time, but as when we last saw him, he's doing well and he's on his way. Well, all right. That is the end of our very first episode of Addiction and Fiction. If you guys would like to follow us on social media, we are on Instagram as Addiction and Fiction Podcast and Threads as Addiction and Fiction Podcast. And until next time, I don't even know what to say at the end. I hadn't come up with anything.
Toodles.
Toodles.